Well, good morning and greetings in Christ's name. It's good to be here with you. Julian talked about this community working well together, and I agree with him that I have often been kind of astounded at how well the churches in the area work together, and I think it's been a real blessing, and I too am grateful for those that have gone before us that have done a good job of doing that, and I hope we can continue to do that. Something that I really missed during the pandemic was the pulpit exchange that our churches have done, both from what we gain at Cedar Crest from hearing from other pastors, and also just missing out on the privilege of visiting other churches. So I'm glad to be here this morning with you all. I look around and I see friends, I see customers, I see schoolmates, I see fellow board members, family, even some fellow disc golfers here. So, but most of all, I see brothers and sisters in Christ, and I also see people that have impacted me in significant ways, and I'm grateful for that. One of the ways that I've been impacted by someone from this congregation was being part of a Bible study that was started by Ellis Miller. And so I was interested in what he was proposing to you all this morning, and I would encourage you to take him up on that offer. I have something down here that I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say about exactly. Part of my journey in the last year, actually probably more like 3 years, but just became more aware of it in the last year, has been depression. And so approximately a year ago, someone from our congregation, Kristen Miller, got up during our share time and just talked a little bit about his journey with depression and encouraged people to reach out if they're facing things like that, mental health issues. And so I want to tell you that as well, because that has been something huge for me. When he said something, I didn't realize what I was going through exactly, but it triggered something inside of me that allowed me to explore it and to talk with other people. And so if you are going through difficult things, talk about them with other people, and I encourage you to get help. I think we have tended to look at mental health struggles as just kind of taboo, and we don't really address them. And I would really encourage us to not look at them that way. Our minds are part of our bodies, and we need to take care of our bodies. And so I encourage you to do that. All right. This morning, I'm going to have a children's lesson. So if you children would come up and sit on the floor in front of the stage here. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for coming up here. This morning I have a lesson. I don't know if you can all see that or not, but there is an egg in that jar of water. And this morning we're going to think of that egg as a person. And then I also have some salt here, and we're going to think of the salt as kindness. So when I dump salt in, that is pouring kindness onto someone's life. So, do you all remember King Saul in the Old Testament? Okay, what can you tell me? Can you tell me something about King Saul? What comes to mind when you think of King Saul? He was mad at David. That's right. That's what I think of first too. In fact, that's what the lesson's about. So you hit the nail on the head there. He was really jealous of David, and he was so jealous of David that he actually tried to kill him. One time he actually threw a spear at David, Now, do you think David felt like being kind to Saul? Do you think he did? No, I see some of you saying no. I don't think probably he really felt like being kind to Saul because Saul was pretty mean to him. But David chose not to be mean back. Instead, he was kind. So we have David being kind to Saul. He poured some kindness into Saul's life. Actually, Saul ended up chasing David and trying to kill him kind of for quite a while, and David had to live in caves to try to stay away from Saul. But still, even in that, David chose to be kind to Saul. There were several times that he actually had a chance to kill Saul, but he chose to be kind, and he spared his life instead. So we see David pouring kindness out on Saul, even though Saul was mean to him. Eventually, Saul died, and David mourned that God's anointed had died. Even though Saul wasn't kind to David, David was mourning that Saul had died. He was showing more kindness. And after a while, after Saul had died, David asked this question. And the king said, "Is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" So David was still wanting to show kindness to Saul's family, even though Saul had been really mean to him. David could have just been glad that Saul was no longer bothering him, but he chose to keep showing kindness to Saul's family. And he actually asked his servants to see if they could find out if there was anybody in the kingdom that was left of Saul's family. So his servants went and looked, and they found a man by the name of Mephibosheth, and they brought him to David. Now, how do you think Mephibosheth might have felt about coming to David?
Scared.
That's a good way to describe it. I think he probably was pretty scared because he knew that his grandpa had been mean to David. And so I don't know if he knew, I don't think he knew what David was going to do, if he was going to show kindness or be mean to him. I think Mephibosheth was scared of David. But David instead chose kindness, and he actually gave Saul's inheritance to Mephibosheth, and he let him live at the palace. So we see more kindness from David being poured out on Mephibosheth. Now, I'm sure that there are times in your lives when people are mean to you. Is that right? Yeah, you experience that. Do you feel like being kind to them when people are mean to you? No, I don't either. But God wants us to return evil with good, and so we choose to be kind. What are some things that we can do to be kind to the people around us? Can you give me some ideas?
Share.
That's a good one. Yeah, so we show kindness by sharing with those around us. Do you have other ideas? Nothing specific? Well, I can give some that I thought of. Help them with their work, making sure that they aren't doing their work by themselves. Or maybe just saying kind things. Just saying nice things to people or about them is a good way to show kindness. Maybe giving them things, giving them gifts, is another good way to show kindness. Encourage them in what they're doing. Make sure that they know that you're thinking about them. Maybe just playing with them, being with them and playing with them. It's a good way to show kindness. Praying for them is a good way to show kindness. So we're putting a bunch of kindness here. Let's see what happens. I'm going to keep dumping a lot of kindness in here. About can't see the egg, can you? Oh, what happened to the egg? Can you see the egg? Where is it? It's sort of on the top. Where was it before? It was on the bottom. That's right. So we put enough kindness on this egg, on this person, and he actually came up to the top. So instead of pushing people down, we should be kind so that we can lift them up. And that way, maybe they can share kindness with the people around them. I think God wants us to lift people up through kindness. So even when other people are mean to us, instead of us pushing them back down, we should be trying to be kind to them and lift them up. Okay, you can go back to your parents. All right, if you would please turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. At Cedar Crest, I'm actually going through the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to read the passage that goes with that this morning. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So as you could tell by the children's lesson, I'm going to be looking at the Spirit fruit of kindness this morning. And for those of you that are reading out of the King James Version, it's the word that is translated gentleness. A note here, I got a bunch of my material for this sermon on kindness from John Drescher's book, Being What Comes Spiritually. So kindness, what is it? The dictionary gives this the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. And I think that says it well. I think we've all experienced someone extending these toward us, and we would consider that person to be kind. Aaron, is there something I should be doing or doing differently? Okay, all right. John Drescher expounds on this in his book, and I quote him, "Kindness is awareness of how the other feels, consideration of those feelings, and adaptation of one's attitudes, words, and behavior accordingly," end quote. So, should we be kind? Now, I think we'd all answer that with an obvious yes, but maybe we should go a little bit deeper and ask the question, why should we be kind? And I think there are probably a number of different correct answers to that question. One of those could be is that when we're kind, we tend to receive kindness in return. Now, it's not always the case, but I think it certainly increases our chances. And I tell my children this quite often. If we show kindness to others, it's more likely that they'll return that to us. But if that's our reason, it can primarily be done for our own gain. And that's often why the world around us is kind. So maybe we should ask the question, why should we as followers of God be kind? And I think the answer to that question is found in who God is, found in his character. God is kind. And I'd actually like to kind of expand on that and say that the Godhead is kind. I think that the three parts of the Trinity either show kindness toward us or show us how to live with kindness or empower us to live out kindness. So let's start with God the Father. The Psalms are full of times where the psalmists talk about God's loving kindness. And it's not uncommon to hear the psalmist saying that the only reason he has to claim God's forgiveness and his mercy is because of God's kindness to him. So I'm going to read a number of verses from Psalms. You don't need to turn to these. They're just kind of scattered throughout. But these verses talk about God's loving kindness. Psalm 40, verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalm 51, 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Psalm 63, 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalm 69, 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Psalm 89, 33. And this is God speaking. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fall. Psalm 103, 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And Psalm 119, 149, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. So we see a lot of recognition here to God for his kindness and his mercy toward us. You know, apart from that God extends to us, we really have nothing. And if we don't recognize that or see ourselves for who we are, I don't think we really see God for who he is. Titus chapter 3, actually you can turn to that. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 3. We see in verse 3 here of Titus chapter 3, our unworthiness. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So it's not a particularly pretty picture here. It's actually quite ugly. Fortunately, we don't have to stay there. God in his kindness gave us a way to be saved from our old lifestyle. And so going on to the next verses there, we see this. Verse 4, but after that, the kindness of God, kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So God is kind, and he demonstrates his kindness toward us by providing salvation and by blessing us with many good things, both here and also in eternity. We see more of this in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read a number of verses from there. Romans 5, starting in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see that ultimate kindness, God showing us that ultimate kindness by sending Christ to die for us. But Christ's kindness wasn't just him dying for us. He also, by his example, showed us how to live. And I think the life that he lived was one filled with kindness toward those around him. I'd like to look just at a couple of examples of Jesus' kindness. You can turn to John chapter 5. John 5, and we're going to start in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then First, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, we don't know this man's story in its entirety. We know that he had been lame for a long time, 38 years. And we see here Jesus asking him if he wants to be healed. And I don't quite know what to do with the man's response. His response may have just been him stating the facts. I'm not sure. He basically says, I can never make it down to the water before others make it down there. It could look a little bit like he's maybe pitying himself, like he's saying, my life is really hard. And I don't know if that's the case or not. It seems like maybe a simple yes would have been a good answer to the question that Jesus asked. Yes, I do want to be healed. At any rate, I'm not going to focus on the man so much this morning as on Jesus. Jesus cared about this man, and he showed kindness to him. You know, he could have walked by, he could have ignored this man, or maybe he could have been turned off by the pity party that the man was having. But we see Jesus' response being one of kindness. He simply healed the man. He gave him what he needed. And he showed his kindness with his actions. I think Jesus was always looking for ways to show kindness to those around him, even or maybe especially to those that were rejected by others. You can turn to Luke chapter 7 now. Luke 7, and we're going to start in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. So we have here a woman who I think was rejected by the people around her. And I think even the religious leaders scorned her. think she was very used to people pushing her away. And we see Simon's response here. This woman isn't worthy of being here, and what she's doing isn't a good thing. And yet we see Jesus' response to that. He recognized that her actions were reflecting her deep appreciation for what Jesus had done for her. And he showed kindness to her, even while others were condemning her. Now, we don't have the power to forgive people of their sins like Jesus did. But we do have the ability to show kindness. I believe that followers of Christ are the best equipped to live lives of kindness, not only because we try to follow Jesus' example, but because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives results in fruit being produced, the fruit of the Spirit. Those that have the Spirit in them should show the fruit of kindness. That's not to say that when we have the Spirit in us that we don't have to put any effort out. We still have to deal with the flesh. But when the Holy Spirit is at work and has free reign in our lives, I think kindness should flow from us much like it did from Jesus. So kindness is exemplified in God the Father and God the Son, and we have the power to live it out through God the Spirit. But how does kindness look? How do we extend kindness to those around us? First of all, kindness is not just words. Quoting from Drescher again, kindness is not an artificial, shallow niceness or unreal feeling or weakness. Kindness is that spiritual grace which flows from spiritual strength and stature. David in 2 Samuel 22:36, speaking of God, says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Only the strong can be gentle. The insecure and the weak must be burly and boasting. A weak Christian deals in harsh criticism, makes verbal attack on others, and cannot stand those who may differ. The strong Christian is the most gentle Christian. The Spirit of Christ makes one kind, friendly, generous, and gentle. Kindness takes us off the judgment seat and puts us on the mercy seat. End quote. So what is your attitude toward others? Do you feel like you need to prove yourself? Do you feel like you need to make sure that they know that you're right or that you have the upper hand? Or are you humble and kind? Do you allow the Spirit to work even when people are coming across in ways that make us uncomfortable? Can we show kindness to them in return? I think we need to allow the Holy Spirit to make us gentle, both in words and in action. There's an old Scottish proverb that says this: remember, if you are not very kind, you're not very spiritual. I think we can tell, there's a bit of a measuring stick here, how good or strong our relationship with God is based on how we treat those around us. God has shown us kindness, and we have the Holy Spirit to empower us to live kind lives. But do our lives show that we've experienced that kindness and that we're accessing the power to live that way? I said earlier that we can't forgive people of their sins like Christ can, but we can forgive people for wronging us. Extending this forgiveness, I think, is a big part of showing kindness to others. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Again, quoting John Drescher, forgiveness is also an element of kindness. Forgiveness means that we show kindness arising out of a tender heart, even to those who injure others, us, and themselves. Kindness does not harbor the thought of who is guilty. It seeks only that joy of right relationship. Only then can the Spirit produce in the life the image of Christ. End quote. I think being able to live that out, to forgive without worrying about having to be right, but rather to desire only to have relationships be restored is true kindness. And I think that's an evidence of the Spirit working in our lives. So how do we show kindness? We show kindness by truly caring about others. And I think that first of all means that we're not focusing on ourselves. I talked about earlier that sometimes we're kind because we want to get kindness back. We're kind to see what we can get out of it. And I see my children doing this. You know, I'll be nice to you so that I can have the toy that you're playing with soon. And unfortunately, I see it in my own life as well. And that's probably where my children learn it. I don't know. You know, that has some value. It's good to be kind. Kind actions are always appropriate. But it's also limited if we're doing it for selfish reasons. If we're only looking out for ourselves and our kindness, I think we will quickly give up and get discouraged. Because, you know, sometimes we just don't get that toy as soon as we wish we would. We don't feel the gratification of a kind act as soon as we wish we would have. But I think that's one reason why the follower of Christ has a much better chance of displaying true kindness, because we have the example of Christ's unselfishness, both in his life and in his death. I think when we seek to emulate the attitude of Christ, we're much more able to show kindness to those around us. True kindness cares about the other person more than it cares about ourselves. Back when I was in high school, I heard a quote by Ian McLaren, and this quote has a lot of different variations. You've probably heard it before as well, but that quote has stuck with me ever since. It goes something like this: be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. You know, how often do we think about what the other person is going through? We know that what we're going through and we know how it affects our outlook on life. But can we put ourselves in the other person's shoes? Can we remember that they're likely going through hard things as well? Likely, most of us have experienced being in the middle of something that's really hard, and someone comes into our lives and just walks all over us and doesn't show kindness. And, you know, we tend to think, well, can't you see that I'm hurting here? Why are you doing this to me? Can't you be more careful and understanding? And yet, how often do we do that to the people around us? We aren't the only people in the world that are facing difficulties. I think when kindness is our default mode, we can bless those around us, even if we don't know what they're going through. Dr. Joseph Matarozzo is the head of the psychology department at the University of Oregon, and he said this: kindness from a good friend may be more helpful to persons than long sessions in a doctor's office. A good talk with a close friend can solve problems, or at least put them in perspective before they become overpowering. One of the problems we face today is a scarcity of friends, end quote. I think that's really powerful. And I trust that we've had the opportunity to find that to be true. I've been blessed with a lot of friends, and I can think of a lot of times when I've been able to talk with them about things that I'm going through, and it's just amazing at the difference that can make in our perspective of our problems. And I talked about depression earlier. Being able to share my struggles with friends is something that was a huge help in my journey through that. The kindness that those friends showed me in being a safe place for me to open up was, I believe, truly life-changing. I think I'd be in a different place today if not for them. So there's something incredibly important about opening up to others. I think there's something that slowly dies inside of us when we can't be open and vulnerable with other people. And to be fair, it's risky to do that. It can be scary to open ourselves up. We don't always know how those people are going to respond to those things. I think C.S. Lewis said it well in his book called The Four Loves. I quote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. End quote. So we see the risk of loving, of opening up and being vulnerable. That's a real risk. But the risk of not doing that is even worse. Our hearts become hard, and we won't have the capacity to show love or kindness to others. And so within that, we also see the importance of showing kindness, of being a person that the people around us can open up to. When we're safe for others to pour out their struggles, they can experience love and healing, and they have a chance to make sense of the traumas and hard things in their lives. Showing kindness in this way, I believe, can literally turn someone's life around. John Drescher says, "Being a friend does not take a special gift. It takes a special grace, the grace of kindness. A friend is one who is kind, patient, and loving enough to listen to what bothers us. A friend is one who does not look down upon us because we feel broken, discouraged, or mixed up. A friend listens and hears the need we ourselves have difficulty understanding. A friend is one who, simply by letting us share, helps us hear our own words so that we gain a proper perspective." End quote. And I hope that we can all be those kinds of friends. Friends that are invested enough in those around us that they aren't afraid to open up to us. Remember that this is a two-way street. The quote I gave earlier by Ian McLaren, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle." It points out that we don't necessarily know, that others don't necessarily know what we're going through. Some of you might remember about 5 years ago, I was facing the issue of a growth in my sinus. And it wasn't obvious to other people what I was going through. There were very few outward signs that there was something wrong. But the fact of the matter was I had a large abnormal growth inside of my head. It was only when people asked and I was willing to open up to them that they knew what I was going through. We need to be willing to open ourselves up to others. You know, it's hard to make ourselves vulnerable and do that, but I don't think we will experience the power of kindness from those around us if we keep everything inside. And just so you know, I did have surgery to get that growth out of my sinus, and It was a large growth. It was about the size of my fist. But fortunately, there are no serious long-term health implications from that. So grateful for the way that God blessed in that. Kindness is found in small things. Simple words and actions of kindness can do big things. John Drescher gives the example of a father who was engrossed in his newspaper when his young son came to him to show him a scratch on his finger. And the dad, annoyed, finally turned away from the newspaper and said, "Well, I can't do anything about it, can I?" And the little boy responded with, "Yes, you could have at least said, oh." You know, how many times do our children come to us in distress, and all they really need from us is to know that we care? The people around us need to know that we care. Simply acknowledging their hurts and problems goes a long way in the process of their healing. Remember that when you show kindness to others, you are showing kindness to Christ. Matthew 25:40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Are we demonstrating kindness? If we've experienced the kindness of God through salvation, then we should be extending that kindness to those around us. If we have the Spirit, we should be bearing the fruit of kindness. My hope and prayer is that we all can be a people that are known for kindness, both within and to the world around us. May we all follow the steps of Christ and show our love for him by being kind to those around us. Let's kneel for prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we just recognize your kindness to us. Thank you for salvation and for the way that you have made that available to us and for your kindness in that. Thank you, too, for sending Jesus to earth to show us how to live and the example of kindness that he is to us and for the way that he cared about the people around him. And we're very grateful for your Spirit and that your Spirit will empower us to live kind lives. God, I pray that you would bless each of us here with a sense of what we've been given, and out of that we would extend kindness to those around us. Lord, I pray that the people around us would see your love through us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.